This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, The Missing One. You'll be surprised that as we have the scriptures for this morning, as some of you may have indication what is this all will be all about. But I believe the Lord has a surprise for us this morning, because what we have to understand about the message that Jesus Christ delivered to us is more and more more revealing. At this time, I'd like to ask you please to bow down your heads for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you please to anoint our lips, anoint our ears, anoint our will, so that our will will be surrendered to you, that our understanding will be controlled by you, that our wishes, our desires will be all guided by you. And as we come to the Word, we ask you please to enlighten us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to see what we are missing. Help us to seek what we are missing. Help us to value what we are missing. And allow us, Lord, to understand how much you value us when we are missing. In the name of Christ, we ask those blessings. Amen. Question. What is missing? Everybody is, one time or the other, we have something missing. How do we know when something is missing? Yes, when we need what is missing, isn't it? How many times we have a garage full of things and we don't even know what we have until a need comes, and then we say, I think I have that somewhere. And then we start looking around the house, we go to the garage, we look, and what a joy when we find something that has been hidden maybe for 10 years, 20 years. We don't even know how long it has been missing, but eventually when there is a need, actually, we start seeking. What do we do in response when we finally come to the conclusion that something is missing? Of course, we evaluate our options, and then we act in response to that need. Sometimes people, they have the attitude that says, I better ignore the need. Sometimes they say, no. As long as the need, I have the need, I have the drive to seek. And they look, and they look until they find. In Luke 15, verse 1, all the way through 7, and I'm reading from the New Century Version. It says this, the tax collectors and the sinners all came to listen to Jesus. They were seeking. They have a need. They have something missing. And that's why they came to Jesus. Now, we have two types of people in the church. And Jesus mentioned here the two types. They have the people that are seeking, and they have the people that are missing. Because verse 2 says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to complain. Look, this man welcomes sinners and even eats with them. Again, those two types of people, they always are close to Jesus, but for the wrong reasons. There are those that are seeking, and there are those that are missing. Those that are seeking, sometimes they do not know that they are missing until Jesus finds them. And verse 3 says, then Jesus told them this story, this illustration. He said in verse 8, I continue reading from the New Century Version, chapter 15 of Luke, verse 8. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 10 silver beautiful coins, but loses one of them. She will light a lamp, sweep the house, and look carefully for the coin until she finds it. Verse 9, and when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, be happy with me because I have found the coin that I lost. Verse 10, it says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner changes his heart and life. First, let's ponder this. Let's divide this in six parts. The first, the woman. Who is this woman that Jesus Christ was talking about? Let's search the scriptures because the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the scribes of the law, they understood what Jesus was meant by the woman. In Genesis 3:15, it says, in a New Century Version as well, Genesis 3:15, most of you are very familiar with this text, I will make you, referring to Satan, and the woman, referring to God's children, enemies to each other. Literally, he was talking to Satan and Eve that was right there. But in a eschatological way, he was talking about all the people that will become the descendants of Satan, the children of Satan, and the children of God, the children of the woman. He says, you'll be enemies to each other. Your descendants, talking about Satan, and her descendants, talk about the woman, will be enemies. One of her descendants, referring to Jesus Christ, will crush your head, meaning philosophy, thinking, teachings, that's the head. And you will bite his heel, mean you'll be always the sneaky one. That's the nature of evil. So who is the woman in Jesus' story? If you open your Bibles in Lamentations chapter 1, we're not going to be reading, but you can read it yourself. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 all the way through 7, a woman symbol is mentioned here. The New King James Version uses feminine pronouns 28 times in these 7 verses. They refer to the city, a city. They refer to Judah, a window.
From now on, I'll call you Judah. Okay, I will not then.
He calls a widow, the princess, Zion, the daughters of Zion, and Jerusalem. Undoubtedly, here is a woman, symbolizes a city, a city, a nation, and of course, God's people. My Siri keeps bothering me here. Let me turn this off.
Check it out.
So, undoubtedly, here's a woman symbolized, as I said, a city, the nation, God's people. Each of a female symbol depicts the same thing, Jerusalem and Judah, but from a slightly different perspective. Within this context, it is not directly depicting a church, but it does indirectly.
Okay, I found this on the web for the city.
I'm sorry, but my computer keeps coming up with a voice here that is not the woman that I want to look. And so, in Ezekiel 16, verse 8, he uses a woman to symbolize Israel. Here, he describes his relationship with a specific woman, which is Jerusalem, which in this case stands for all Israel. Of course, in this context, he says, "You became mine." Is the language of marriage a covenant relationship to one to whom she was to be faithful? In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, a New Century Version, the Lord says this, "I remember how faithful you were to me when you were a young nation. You loved me like a young bride. You followed me through the desert, a land that had never been planted." Now, we all are familiar with Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 12, when Jesus mentioned two types of young women. They were carrying their lamps as a symbolic reference to the church in the last days. Of course, there's two types. The one type are the foolish, which is a symbol of Babylon and her daughters. And then the second group is the wise. That is the remnant, the children of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 to 31, Paul uses women to symbolize the old covenant and the new covenant. In Revelation 12, verse 1 to 6, a woman is symbolic of the nation of Israel and, of course, the spiritual church on the last days. In Revelation 17 and 18, here a woman represents a false system of Babylon, or Babylon itself, a spiritual Babylon. In Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9, represents a woman as the pure bride of Christ. What can we understand about this that is said in Scripture about a woman? Every time a woman is used as a symbol in the Bible, the common denominator is the idea of a system of beliefs and practices that exists to influence other people. A church is a system of beliefs and practice that exists to change people. That's what the woman is in the Jesus story. That is what the Bible says about a woman as the church, as a nation, as a city, as a symbol of Zion. A nation has a character and way of doing things. Every nation has a very unique way to be. So does the world. As a whole, the world has a system of beliefs and practice. Unfortunately, that goes always contrary to God's holy principles. Scriptures use the term world in many different ways. Overall, it is a negative connotation describing a corrupted system of beliefs and practices. Since Adam and Eve introduced sin into this world, brothers and sisters, there has been a war. Yes, the war described in Genesis 3:15, a war between the children of Satan and the children of the woman, the bride of Christ. Now, 10 coins. One is missing. Why don't concentrate all our energy on the 9 that we still have? Why spend so much energy to find that missing one? Does it make such a difference? What is the big deal about this one that is missing? Yes, let's continue and you see how important are the coins. What are the coins symbol of? We know that the woman is a symbol of the church, of God's people. In some case, the rebellious woman, in the case of Babylon, is the opposite. But this woman that Jesus is using in illustration is the church of God, the remnant. That's why she is preoccupied about the coin that is missing. So let's emphasize the coins. What are the coins? It says a woman has 10 silver coins. I have 10 coins in front of me here. I put them in front of me just to visualize what I'm saying to you. And I imagine if I have one missing, would that make me feel, nine is sufficient? And I have with me here too something that is the same size of a coin. It is almost the same material, but it has a hole in the middle. I suspect that if machines that takes a coin, if I put this thing that I have here with this usher that has a hole in it, the machine will be deceived because it's the same size, the same weight, but has no value, the same value. It was made for a different purpose than a coin. So if I have a missing one coin and I put this usher here to replace, won't do it. I can never restore the value of the 10 coins with something that looks like a coin but has a hole in the middle of it. In Exodus chapter 34:28, Deuteronomy 4 verse 13, Deuteronomy 10 verse 4, there's one thing these three passages of the Bible has in common. If you open and read those, you'll see that all of them mention the 10 commandments. But actually, that is our translation. Literally, in Hebrew, it doesn't say the 10 commandments. In Hebrew, it says the 10 words. As an expression, meaning the 10 things that God spoke. So they, it's very common in Judaism to refer to the 10 commandments as the 10 words. You even see some pictures of the 10 commandments, and you see only 10 words for each commandment, just a word. So it was very common, it's still very common among Judaism to say the 10 words, because in Exodus 34:28, as I mentioned, Deuteronomy 4:13 and 10:4, they mention literally in Hebrew the 10 words. Now I want you to open your Bibles in Psalms 12, verse 6, New Century Version. I want you to open your Bibles, please, in Psalms 12, verse 6. And read with me. The Lord's words are pure, like silver purified by fire, like silver purified seven times over. Now, the emphasis here is how pure the words of God are. And also use the silver purified by fire seven times. So there's nothing can be as pure as this. That's the expression that Psalms try to accomplish. Now think about the 10 silver coins. Actually, brothers and sisters, the 10 silver coins are the 10 words that Exodus, Deuteronomy is talking about, are the 10 commandments. They are the silver purified seven times over. They are the words of God that they are pure. They represent the holiness of God, of His character. So the coins I want you to call your attention to are the 10 commandments that was entrusted to the woman to take care of it. It was given to her as a bride. And she was told, you need to keep this. You need to keep clean. You need to keep closer to you. Whatever you go, you take with you. Don't trust, don't spend, don't misuse. Keep it until I come back. And when I come back, I will see if you have the 10 coins, I will marry you. That's what the groom is going to do. When he comes back, the bride has to show him 10 pure coins that she kept very close to her, that she kept it clean, she kept it holy, the 10 coins. But she did, because of something that happens to her. to her house. Maybe she was distracted by something else, and one coin was missing. So what did she do? First, the Holy Spirit was working with her because she felt the need. Where is? She went back to the coins after some neglect. She went back and she noticed there was only 9. And she said, I need to find the other coin. I cannot afford to lose one of them. So she says she will light a lamp. Now, all of you know what the lamp is. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So she did light a lamp. Just like the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. They need a lamp in order to be able to be prepared for the return of the groom. So this woman as well, she needs to light a lamp. In John 17:17, New King James Version says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. The word is the truth. The word is the lamp. Without the word, I do not find what is missing. I need the word in order to find what is missing. That coin can only be found with assistance of the word of God. Because if I don't use the word of God, all that I'm going to do is to have an usher with a hole in the middle and try to replace the coin that was missing, and it won't work. I won't be able, the woman won't be able to find or to be accepted by the groom if she comes up with a fake coin or with only 9. In John 3, verse 19 to 21, New King James, it says, and this is the condemnation that the light has come into the world, and Jesus is the light. And men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, what they have been done in God. Now, the word is the truth. The world is the light. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the word, as John 1:1 says. So she needs a lamp. She needs Christ. She needs the light. Number 4, the house. In this morning's lesson, we talk about the sanctuary, a holy place, a place that preserves life, a place where God resides and God is life, and everyone who comes to Him receives life. So here, the house. Now, I noticed that I have mentioned this to you as a church many times, and I feel shocked because I do research on web and I do some reading. I look some things on YouTube, and I haven't found people that have noticed the house, a symbol of the house, right on the heart of the Sabbath. Yes, that B. You know, in English we double the B just to is a sign in grammar to tell the reader there is B is because the sound is a B sound, not a V sound. I was doing some research, and I noticed that in the Philippines, in the Filipino, how did they say a cow? They say baka, with a B. And then I noticed also in Arabic, bakara, with a B as well. And I have talked to some Hispanics, and I asked them, how do you say cow in Spanish? And they say baka. And I thought for a moment, I thought that it spells with a B. But then I asked them to write down, and they spell with a V. Even though they spell with a V, they pronounce it with a B. And I have noticed that this is the reason why maybe the Filipinos say baka, is because probably when they heard from the Hispanics that came to the Philippines, they may heard the word vaca, but the pronunciation came out as baka. And so they learn and they say baka instead of vaca, which is in Portuguese and also in Spanish it spells with a V, vaca. And we notice that those things happen. And in the word Sabbath, the double B is just to emphasize that it is a B. Why B? Because it's a Beth. Beth is, in Hebrew, is house, is a sanctuary. Not only the Sabbath has Abba present, but has a symbol right in the middle of the word Sabbath of where Abba resides, the house. But the house needs to be clean, or Sabbath no longer is a Sabbath. Sabbath becomes like this usher that I have in my hand that has the same size of the coin but has not the same value. And there is this hole in the middle. Yes, everybody who calls Sunday Sabbath is like they are holding their hands an usher with a hole in the middle. It has the same weight of the coin that was lost, but it's not the coin and has not the same value. So he says the house needs to be swept, so it needs to be clean. Through all the ages, as Bible prophecy says, the woman was going to be persecuted by the dragon that would try to kill his child. Jesus was crucified, as the prophecy of 2,300 days predicted. But the prophecy didn't stop there. It goes all the way to 1844. So we know that something happened in 1844. According to William Miller, that lived between, in his research between 1831 and 1844, he studied the Bible. He studied Daniel 8:14, and he read there, "Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." And he came to the conclusion that this was referring to a church or maybe to the world. And he started teaching. And this awakening happened around the world, in South America and in Asia. It was not only in America. This was this revival. Everybody was talking about the sanctuary to be cleaned. The house needs to be cleaned. So Miller and all those that follow him, being a Baptist lay preacher, after he studied deeply, deeply, he came to the conviction that Jesus was coming back to clean, that he was doing the cleaning. But in the illustration that Jesus himself gave, the woman used the lamp. It was not the groom that came to clean the house. It was not the husband that came to clean the house. It was the woman who was doing the cleaning with the assistance of the light. He talks about a biblical revival after the evolution. All those things try to eliminate the value of the Bible. This revival came up and took over around the world. It was a call, a desperate call, to back to the Bible, to sola scriptura. Yes, you may say, "Oh, but this took place. It started 300 years with the Reformation, 300 years earlier." But you see, that woman did not clean the house well because not everything else was removed. A lot of paganism is still, now was a necessary call for a real cleaning. God was calling a time to clean the house so we could find that coin that was missing. 1,260 years passed, and now was the time to clean the house. And as the house, as everybody went back, and you know how the pioneers, they went back and they studied day and night after what they call the great disappointment when Jesus did not come literally to the earth. They kept asking, what happened? Why did we take it wrong? We thought about the cleaning of the house. The house took place, the cleaning took place, and the coin was found. When they went back to the Bible, they found the coin. They found the Sabbath. They cleaned the house, and when they cleaned the house, they found Abba. As the three angels' message says, a revival about the conviction about the Creator, the establishment of the real Sabbath, it came back to light. And that was the responsibility of the woman. As she got the lamp, as she cleaned the house, the coin, it was going to come up. What is the missing coin? As I already gave you a hint. But she loses one. The coin that I lost. Remember, it's not the coin that was lost. Actually, was the woman that was lost without the coin. Because the coin changes not. The coin is going to be forever the coin. But the absence of the coin was changed the condition of the woman. And what changed the condition of the woman is that the woman, by regret or by circumstance, it got a lot of corruption inside of the church. And that needs to be wiped out, cleaning completely. Not partially like some reformers did, but completely, as the Bible calls for a complete cleaning of the house. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, it says this, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, my sanctuaries, Abba sanctuaries, to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. I am the Lord who gives them sanctuary. Make them holy." That's what the verse is saying. "Moreover, I, the Lord, give them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, to see that they are my bride and I am the groom. They are the wife, I'm the husband. The covenant of marriage. They are mine. I am the one who sanctifies them. I am the one who provides a tabernacle for them. I am the one who provides them a sanctuary to them." Ezekiel 20:20, New Century Version. "Keep my Sabbaths holy, and they will be a sign between me and you. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." You know that in the last days the remnant has a sign, the seal of God, a sign right in their heads. The other woman will have a sign as well, but not the sign of God, because they have a different coin. Their coin is an usher with a hole in the middle. The coin, the precious silver coin that the woman was looking for, has the name Abba stamped to it. Mark 7:7-8. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath himself. He said, "In vain they worship me." In vain this woman, this apostate woman, worship me. "Because they teach doctrines, the commandments of man, the usher with a hole in the middle of it. Same weight, same size, same color, yet not as valuable as the coin." But it says, "For laying aside the commands of God," the real coin, they try to bring a tradition, a fake coin to replace it. Instead of looking for the real coin, they try just to replace with something that looks like. James 2 verse 10 tells a very clear message. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet end up only with 9 coins. No, that's not what it says. It says, for whatever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of them all. So brothers and sisters, 9 coins will not make it. 9 coins will not be enough. The missing coin must be found. That's why in 1844, God woke up a remnant and asked the remnant to seek for that coin. And the remnant did clean the house. The remnant did open the Bible. The remnant spent hours and hours, days and months and years until finally it was clear as day, as noontime. And then a lady called Ellen G. White received a vision. After all the labor of James, her husband, all the labor of Andrews, Bates, Edison, and all the reformers, and even people from all denominations, the Seventh-day Baptists, with all those people that God put together. And God worked with all of them. Finally, Ellen G. White received a vision. And right there she saw, in her vision, the missing coin, the Sabbath, with this circle of light. Now, have you taken your bulletins? Have you noticed the cover of your bulletins? Have you paid attention closely to the drawing, to the picture? Have you noticed something is missing in that picture? I don't know how many of you will notice. I did it on purpose. I wonder if when they get this bulletin, they will say, Pastor, there's something missing in this picture. Yes, the missing coin. The fourth commandment. The Sabbath. And finally, this says, the call to celebrate. When she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors. And she will say to them, be happy with me because I have found the coin that I lost. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to call your attention that the Bible says she looked carefully for that coin until, that means determination. She says, you, I won't give up until I find it. And thank God, God chose and anointed our pioneers of the remnant church to look for this coin. And they did not stop until they found it. And today we are blessed. Yes, you have been invited. You have been called to be part of the celebration. I was called to be part of this celebration. When I received the truth about the Sabbath, it was so obvious to me that I didn't have to fight against it. It says the woman called her friends and neighbors. When she finds it, she will call her neighbors and friends, and they did. Isaiah 10 verse 21, it says, the remnant will return. It's a prophetic statement. It says the remnant will return. Yes, the remnant of Jacob, the remnant of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, they will come to the mighty God, to the El Shaddai. They will come. Yes, the remnant woke up and the remnant came. The woman cleaned the house and found the coin. Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share her sins." Abandon, that is not the woman. That is the woman, the pure one. The one who has the 10 coins. Not the woman who has 9, but the woman who has 10 coins. That is the woman. Come out of that one and go and follow that one. Because that one is going to be in the kingdom forever. The groom is coming for that one, the one who's holding in her hands the 10 silver pure coins. Revelation 14:12 tells this to us. Here is the patience of the saints. Again, sanctuary saints, all is basically the same word. So here is the patience. Here's the remnant there is in a sanctuary. Here is the patience, the remnant that God has made holy. Because they have all the 10 coins. Here are those who keep the 10 coins of God, the 10 commandments of God, and has the faith of Jesus, the word of truth, the light of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the possession of all these 10 coins is how the remnant, the bride of Christ, will be identified when Jesus Christ coming for his bride. Anyone at that time that shows up with 9 coins, 8 coins, will not be recognized by the groom, because the groom will say to them, "I have no idea who you are. I have no idea who you are." The only one who you will call and embrace and bring to his kingdom to be his bride is the one who will be holding to a very beautiful 10 silver coins, purified 7 times. There is joy in the presence of the angels, Jesus said, the angels of God. When one sinner changes his heart, in his life. Our lives cannot be changed by 9 coins alone. Anyone who breaks one, break them all. There are 2 types of people who go to church. There are those that are seeking, and they will be found. And those that are missing, because they are seeking nothing. They don't feel the need to get cleaned. There are a lot of people today that call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. And they go about with 9 coins in their pocket, and they believe they are Seventh-day Adventists, even though they are not spending time looking for the 10th coin, the missing coin. Brothers and sisters, we are Seventh-day Adventists. We need to be Seventh-day Adventists 7 days a week. Not only on the 7th. Some people come to church on the morning, and afternoon, they become somebody else. They go to restaurants. They go to celebrations. They go to things that have nothing to do with observing this precious coin, keeping this coin clean. Isaiah 58 says clearly, we should not have our own thoughts, our own words. It is not time for us to be watching television, to be distracted, bring the world inside of the Sabbath, because it ceased to be Sabbath. Abba wants a special time with his creation, with you. And he only can come to you if you hold in your hands the 10 coins. That's the ID that you belong to Abba. If you have the 10 coins, 9 will not make it. I hold at this moment that you are holding 10 coins in your hands. I have 10 coins in my hands symbolically. 10 is a symbol of the Ten Commandments, the will of God. May the Lord redeem you with His grace. May the Lord embrace you and give you the light and the desire to remove anything of your life that is hiding that precious coin. Be a real Seventh-day Adventist. Hold in your hands the 10 coins. And when Jesus Christ comes, I want you to open your hands and say, Lord, here are the 10 coins. You gave for me, you entrusted me for me to keep it. And I kept every day of my life. Here they are. And the Lord will say to you, come into my kingdom. You faithful. As a church, let's make sure the house is clean. As people of God, as the remnant, let's make sure that we have His will, all 10 in our hands. Let's live by them, by God's grace. Let's use them as evidence that we are saved by grace, and by grace we'll keep those coins always pure in our hands. God bless you and make you pure. Amen.